Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we also groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Shall we seek God's face in prayer and pray that the Spirit will lead us and help us? Our Father, we give thanks that we can come to Thee through another, through Christ, and we pray that we might be seen in Him, that we might be seen in that shed blood which can wash away all sin, and that in Him, and because of His death and the shedding of His blood, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Help us to know the need of it. Help us to know the great blessing of it. First of all, Father, we do not think our sins are as scarlet. We establish our own righteousness, as Paul describes of his fellow men. And after we have come to know the awfulness of sin, then it is hard to believe that those sins can be made white as snow. Help us to believe all of Thy Word. Help us to believe this part of it here, both in knowledge and in experience, and that we might know there is a time to laugh and a time to mourn, that we may know each and every time rightly before Thee, to Thy glory, that we might want to in all things hallow Thy name, that we may want Thy kingdom to come, that we may want Thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, not only for others, but for ourselves also, and ourselves first, that we might then know rightly the need of others. We pray, Father, for reviving in the church. We pray for awakening as well, when we do not know the need of reviving. We pray for awakening in the world, that the world will again know how far we are from Thee, our nation, and other nations that have known Thee far more in the past than we do today. And we know so little of Thee and of Thy ways, of Thy holiness, of Thy anger against sin. And we pray, Father, that we might especially know these things, that we will know the need of Thy loving us as well as the rest of the world, that Thou didst give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And again we pray that Thou wilt lead us to know that we are the perishing sinners, and as we know that we can also know that we are no longer perishing. If we have Him, we can abide in Him and He abide in us. If we can eat of His body and drink of His blood, then we have life, and life more abundantly. We pray, Father, in His name also, that Thou would give blessing to those that are in need for the temporal blessings, those that are suffering for Thy name's sake, persecuted, those that are suffering as homeless, hungry, war-torn lands, all the calamities of there, even the homeless in our own nation that have their homes taken away by fire, the wind, hurricane, tornadoes, all the calamities that have come. And we give thanks, Father, that we are so blessed in our area. We also pray for those who need Thy healing hand in the body, the many different illnesses that are there. We pray for them, and if it could be Thy will, they might be given healing through Christ, the great physician. Also, Father, we pray for those who will be left in their illness through life, that they may have the peaceable fruits of righteousness, that they may have Thy grace, as Paul was told that Thy grace is sufficient. We pray also they may know the brevity of life and need to prepare for death. We pray for those in different calamities of hunger. We pray, Father, for the broken homes, the children in them, We pray that thou wilt teach the church that it will teach rightly concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage, the truth of thy word. We pray, Father, for all these things in that one and only blessed name, Christ Jesus, thy Son. Amen. As we look at these words again, they are words of truth. God's word is all truth, every word. And as we've often said, we must live by every word. We must live by the blessings that are described, as the first verse of this eighth chapter states, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But when we come here, we see not only the life of sanctification, living and thankfulness for what we have received in forgiveness and justification, what we have received in Christ in us, the hope of glory, but we also see that there is a time of suffering. And as the first verse that we read, that we will be joint heirs with Christ, if so be, that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We read of the suffering that is there with the realization of our sin. 20th verse, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And then what effect that has on us if we realize these things. The 22nd verse, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation. The suffering that is there, the calamities that are there. It is not just, as some want to say, climate change. It is God's judgment. God told Noah that day and night, cold and heat, summer and winter, seed time and harvest would not fail. And three of those words are cold and heat. They will continue, though they may vary. They can vary even 20, 30 degrees in temperature in a few hours. That doesn't come by climate change, warmer or colder. It comes the way God orders nature. It was true in Israel when God would send judgment and say he would send rain on one city and not on another. He would send famine and he would send at times plenty. It was generally with the way of sin. As Moses wrote, Deuteronomy 28, when they obeyed, they would be blessed in every way and every place. In the last part of that 28th chapter, if they would sin and be disobedient to God, they would be cursed in every way. In the field, in the city, in the home, everywhere. God gave warning. What would accompany sin? And when we think of here, bondage of corruption under the glorious liberty of the children of God, it is dealing with sin and deliverance, the result of sin that is still there. Paul, as an apostle, writing this letter to the church, an instructor, written by the inspiration of God, coming from the mouth of God to Paul, and then he and those who would write with him could write it. He had that great blessing. But what did he say? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There he was experiencing much the same as he speaks of the whole creation, the world. And we know there is suffering in the world. We know there are terrible things that happen as wars. We know they happen in nature. We know they happen among animals. There is suffering. There is the groaning and travail. There is also the way that can be a blessing. When we realize what we are before God, what we have done, the result of it, even as Christ, when he came to Mary and Martha, after Lazarus died, twice he groaned. And then we read, he wept. He saw the result of sin in the sorrow that was there. He saw the result of sin in death. It had come, as God had said to Adam, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That brought sin. And sin brought not only spiritual death, but in the end, it would bring physical death as well. Christ, realizing that, wept with Mary and with Martha and groaned, seeing the result of it. And so we read here, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Christ was in all points tempted like we are. And here there's a groaning, of believers. There's a groaning, as Paul says, we ourselves groan within ourselves. I'm sure there was times that Paul did that in his suffering. He suffered shipwreck, he suffered hunger, he suffered beatings, he suffered at the hands of his fellow men, he was stoned, and that probably brought some of the groaning. As well, as we just mentioned, sin, sin, sin. Would we have any groaning if there wasn't sin? That's the problem. And God gives also the answer. And Paul says, because of the answer, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He had preached that. We could read it all through the first part of this letter to the church at Rome. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for his enemies. Christ died for sinners. All the ways we are described. Christ died. He became the propitiation for our sin. He made the payment. And we must not forget that. If I should have to quit in the middle of a message, as some pastors have dropped dead, it would be terrible if I had not preached the gospel. Some of you may be there for the first time. You need to hear the gospel. As Christ said, preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, we need to preach more than just the gospel, which is Christ dying for our sin according to the scripture, being buried, rising again from the dead according to the scripture. We need to preach repentance as well. Preach a change in ourself before God. A change in our thinking. A change from pride to humbleness. From laughter to mourning. That is a blessing. And we need to see that as well. This here would seem like something people would probably like to skip and say, I don't want that. And as I read last week, even from one of the old early Puritans coming to this country, they struggled. They examined themselves. Some people would say they have to only have more assurance and then go on in that way. And there is wonderful assurance given here by Paul in the first verse of the fifth chapter. Wonderful assurance in the 21st verse of the third chapter and as well other places. And Paul had that. Paul was one that could say, rejoice. Paul could say he had blessing in Christ, knowing the power of his resurrection and wanting to know more of it. But Paul said, we also groan within ourselves. There's a place for it. First of all, for the sinner in the beginning of his relationship with God. Christ stated in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what's being described here. Poor in spirit. Groaning. Realizing the corruption. We're poor. Poor in spirit. But Christ says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The publican was poor in spirit, but he went to his house justified. The kingdom of heaven was his. Then the next verse, blessed are they that mourn. Who wants to mourn? If we're mourning, there's something that makes us sorry, makes us heavy, weary. But Christ says, blessed are they that mourn. It's part of the way back to God. We can't come in pride. We can't come at ease in Zion. Christ doesn't invite those. He even says, woe to those that are at ease in Zion, those that are comfortable, thinking all is well. I know what it's like. I've been there too long. Somebody was saying it today of someone who, after God taught him, he said of the past that church was my God. I think sometimes we don't know any more in the church than political parties. It's just my church, my party, my society. No fear of God, no understanding of God. But when there comes an understanding of God, we become poor in spirit. We become those that mourn. We become then, as the next statement is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How will that be? Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We will get enough of what we need from the earth. Everything we need will be added. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God makes us hungry. no longer self-satisfying. Christ said, "Except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you." No life. No right spirit. We must eat of him by faith. We must see that that broken body was our life. As much as we receive life and continue with life by eating the food for the body. A baby will have its first milk, its first drink, and we must have that first measure of righteousness from Christ. Not only do we read that here, Christ also spoke of it another time. He, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain and was set, and the disciples came unto him. We not only call those blessings that we read Beatitudes, but we call it the Sermon on the Mount. But there was also another time when he preached very much the same thing. He was on the plain, a different place, a different time, but he preached much the same words. Not exactly the same, but we read, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." And then later, in that same chapter, "Woe unto you that are full, you shall hunger." If we're full of self-righteousness, we will one day, if it doesn't change, lift up our eyes in hell, being in torment. That man wanted a drop of water on the tip of the finger of Lazarus. He was thirsting. He hadn't thirsted for righteousness while he lived. And Christ said, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." So when we come back here to Romans, it is a time that's necessary in our life. First of all, in the beginning, when we seek the Lord, we come away from the high place to the low place, to the pit. Thou that exalted to heaven shall be brought down to hell. If we don't have this teaching between the time of our life and death, we will go to hell. Every one of us. Yes, every one. We must have the teaching that the Lord Jesus spoke of. Blessed are they that mourn. Would Paul? It didn't stop. As we said last week, he had heaviness and sorrow for his kinsmen. And here he is seemingly having it himself when he says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also." One of the apostles, and I think we could say the other apostles would have the same with Paul. They were taught by the same Spirit, by the same Word, by the same Savior. And he says, "Even we also groan within ourselves." But we know there is a hope. There's a hope ahead. And he also speaks of that. And I don't want to stop before I mention that as well. Paul writes a little further into that 8th chapter, the 24th verse, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" So it's something that we don't see yet. Paul, when he spoke to the church at Corinth, said, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Spirit is leading Paul to write of those things that we can't see, but we can hope for them. In the 23rd verse, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," waiting for something that is going to come further. When we think of adoption, we often think of it at the same time as justification, the same time as receiving Christ, being saved, become adopted into God's family. And going back to verse 17, it describes it. The 15th verse also, verse 17, we read, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." In the 15th verse, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." as with the apostles. They had different times of receiving the Spirit in different ways, as I mentioned often. On the day of resurrection, Christ breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. There would be a further manifestation of the Spirit. And so, here Paul talks about, we have the Spirit of adoption, but there's a further Spirit of adoption. A Spirit of adoption that makes us God's children, but a Spirit of adoption also that takes us out of the suffering of this life. And that is what he's talking about here when we read in this 23rd verse, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Our soul has been saved, but our body, our flesh, is still sinful. It is striving flesh against the Spirit, and the result of it is trouble, anxiety, fear, groaning together and travail in pain until now. Yes, that is the way of God, but there is a hope. For if we hope that we have seen not, then we do with patience wait for it. Paul was doing that himself when he wrote to Timothy. He said, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing." Paul has finished his fight. I've fought a good fight, finished my course. He is now more in a time of, we might say, quietness. He's in prison, waiting for death, waiting for full deliverance. But here, he's still struggling. We also read in his letter to the Corinthians of faith, hope, and love. Three things that we have. He spoke much of faith before this, justified by faith, living by faith. In other places we read, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, he himself lived by that. Not only faith in him, but the faith of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Author of faith for the future as well as for the present. Faith, hope, and love. But he says the greatest of these is love. And that's what we need. We need so desperately in our churches, in our home, in our nation. There's probably more of a lack of it than ever before in our history, since our pilgrim forefathers. More broken homes, as I said last week. More trouble with the children suffering because of it. Lack of love. But we need faith with it. And all these struggles of what is taking place, we hope for a revival. But it may not come. And if it doesn't come, then our only hope is Christ's return and the deliverance that will come with that. And that may be the way for our country, for our churches. Struggling, persecuted, going on, groaning. Yes, I want to say again and again and again, we must pray for revival. We need it. We need it that God's name will be honored. Hallowed be thy name. We need it that the kingdom will come. In the way of reviving, it can come in other ways. We need it that God's will be done. His revealed will be given heed to. His permissive will is being done. But we need that revealed will in Christ. Abide in him, and he in you. You can bring forth much fruit then.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise